The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Marvelous Monday as we examine why pride can get us deep fried. Uh-oh. And then how many true superstars are there? We're going to look at that. And finally, strategies to make sure God is fighting for us and not against us.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Praise reports, prayer requests, trivia answers, and if you've just got a really good thing to say, it's all good, and here's why. Any topic is open for conversation because we have proved 3.5 weeks from now for 1 year that it is not professional radio. See, it is everything but professional. Two cans and a string. Okay? Somebody shouting from a rooftop, right? Somebody going, hey, Abbott, you know, anything like that. But professional radio, psh, I don't think so. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Before we say anything else and do anything else, we welcome back our very own Wonder Julie, who has been gone for the entire week. Terrific, Tira, did a terrific job.
Oh, I'm glad.
Did fantastic. So proud of her.
I knew she would.
She was, just did great. But it's also nice to have you back, and
well,
I hope you.
You
had a wonderful time.
I did. Our flight on Friday to leave was canceled, so we had to stay an extra day.
You had to stay an extra day in paradise. Is that what
yeah.
you're trying to tell
and
me?
And they're getting it's Carnival.
Right. Let me just hear. I'm playing this. You know what this is? You know what this is? These are my two fingers rubbing together by my ear. You know what that is?
No.
That's the world's smallest violin playing
yes.
My Heart Bleeds for You.
Yeah.
Welcome back. It's good
Thank
to have you.
You.
Let's get through this money. Have a good time. First and foremost, up on the list, let's talk about our good friend Clint and Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services all through the Texas area. They do free evaluations, advanced drying technologies. They work with all the insurance companies. If you've got a problem at your house, at your apartment complex, with the buildings, with any buildings you help coordinate, with your church, with any, it doesn't matter if it's a small building, a large building, a small unit, a large unit. Mr. Restore is the place to go. MrRestore.com. This is run by Clint and MrRestore.com. Big fans of the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is a ministry that works with people that have severed limbs. Four. Severed limbs. They give these people hope and drive and confidence. You know they're pointing them towards the Lord, but the whole presence of idea is to give them something to drive for, because a lot of these people have lost all hope. So the Adaptive Training Foundation, which my wife and I also support and think is fantastic, they are doing a great job. Clint, closely connected, being one of their chief officers. That is one of the great things about when the Lord does bless you and move you into different places. You can touch to ministries that can impact hundreds and thousands of people. Even if you're not like on the stage, you can just be the person that kind of helps coordinate. And they, at Mr. Restore, they have 50 years of restoration experience. They're family owned and operated. Here's the big deal. Thousands of happy customers. And that's exactly what you want to hear. MrRestore.com. That's their website. You can reach them 877-631-7576. Or you can connect through HeMustIncrease.org. We have a link that says Best Ministry Partners Ever, and they're on it. And that is as simple as it gets. Let me give a quick shout-out to a new friend or a newer friend. So lately, as you guys know, and I've been praying ever since we've been on the show, trying to find the right place to kind of land and be at church and kind of get comfortable. And I just want to give a shout-out to Stillwater Community Church, which is located in Rowlett. For those that are more like I am out in the boonies compared to where this station is, okay, the bottom line is that 8401 Princeton Road, they have a great church. It has a 9:30 service and an 11 a.m. service. Pastor Kurt is fantastic. Came out of Dallas Theological, so you know where he's coming from. He's got a lot of good grounding, but that's got nothing to do with it. He teaches, and what I love about him is he doesn't always do it perfectly, but he tries to use props in his teaching. It's the best thing in the world because it helps you remember. And in one sermon, he was talking about the Lord stretching everybody. He gave everybody a large rubber band. And he's like, see that stretch rubber band? See that stretch? That's what the Lord's doing to you. And it's like, oh, that's really good. That's a great connection. Anyway, we encourage you to check out Stillwater Community Church, 9:30 service, 11 a.m. service. I did mention to you as we're going forward, we're going to start promoting churches. I thought I would start with the one I'm attending. That's a pretty good idea. So if you're anywhere in Rockwall or in Garland or in Fate or in Roy City or anywhere around there or in the Rowlett area, come check out Stillwater Community Church. You'll love it. Very loving church. Great on the word. Great on worship. But most importantly, great on just loving the Lord. And, you know, that's what you want. That's what you want from any church, anywhere, anytime. So much to cover. So little time. So let us get into it right off the bat. I wanted to talk a little bit about pride. Now, I'm a guy that's got so much pride, it's kind of sad. And I'm going to give you a good short story on pride, and then we'll talk about it from a scriptural point of view. And you're thinking, well, I'm not prideful. Okay, first of all, that's the first indication that you have pride, that you're not just willing to examine. Here's a story. Everybody knows it, well known. It is probably an urban legend, but it's a lot of fun, so it doesn't matter. There is a private in the United States Navy, and he sends out a message, and he sends out the message to the ship. It says, please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The captain responds, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Private responds, negative. You will have to divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Captain responds, this is the captain of the United States Navy. And I say again, divert your course. Private, no, I say again, divert your course. The captain, this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied with three destroyers, three cruisers, numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. I say again, that's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Private responds, this is a lighthouse. Your call. Get it? It's a lighthouse. The lighthouse is not moving for the ship. You get it? Sometimes we are so caught in our position or in our mentality or in our strength and power and wisdom and wit that we can't even see that we're headed for a lighthouse and somebody's trying to give us a redirect. And we're like, huh? Now, I'm not going to use the word that I would normally use because I'm being nice and I don't know if Pastor Kurt's listening right now. But in Numbers chapter 22, in the Numbers chapter 22, verses 22 through 33, there's a story about Balaam being with his donkey. And the donkey's going in one direction, and Balaam's trying to get him to go in another, and the dog's going another direction, and Balaam can't figure out what's going on. And it turns out as you get into the scripture, you find out that an angel of the Lord is standing in the road with a drawn sword ready to hack away, and the donkey's like going, yeah, no, not going there. Yeah, no, not going that direction. But see, Balaam, he's the prophet, and after all, it's just a dumb donkey that he's riding, right? when he gets mad at the donkey and he smacks the donkey and he beats the donkey and he does all this. And in verse 28 of Numbers 22, it says, "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that has made you beat me three times? Balaam answered the donkey, 'You've made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now.' The donkey said to Balaam, 'Am I not your own donkey, which you've always ridden to this day? Have I ever been in the habit of doing this to you?' 'No,' Balaam said." Verse 31, "Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn." Balaam, though a false prophet, a prophet nonetheless, thinks his donkey is really dumb. By the way, gets into an argument with the donkey without realizing he's arguing with the donkey. I don't know about you, I have a dog. And I get into certain forms of arguments with my dog, but usually he's not responding back in English, in clear sentences, in concise summations of concepts and ideas. Usually he's giving me a hoof, and then I'm just dealing with him at that level. This is a donkey that's having a complete adult conversation with a guy, and the guy is so mad at the donkey because the donkey is so bad, he wants to kill the donkey, and in fact, it's the dumb donkey that's saving his life. Because if the donkey goes forward, that angel would have been ripping things to shreds. And sometimes we get so powerful in ourselves, so powerful in our mind, so powerful in our teachings and our abilities to say the right thing and to have the right word and to have the right disposition and attitude that we are unable to see that even the dumbest animal has got more common sense than we do. Now, God spares Balaam, but teaches him. And what is that lesson that God teaches? A little humility goes a long way in God not knocking you off your donkey. A little humility goes a long way in God not knocking you off your donkey. Hey, you know somebody else who went through that? Paul. And God knocked him off his donkey and blinded him and said, "I got a message for you, pal. It's going to be a little different than what you thought." We have to be willing, ready, prepared to yield, stop, surrender, give in to the Lord. And sometimes we get, listen, I'm on radio every day. Who's more full of myself than me? But every day I have to come and check my spirit, check my attitude. And I'm not just teaching this for me, though it is for me. This is for everybody. Everybody is a Christian. I don't care how high up you get in the process. God is in charge. He alone reigns in the affairs of men. He alone is in charge of how things will go. And you have two choices. You can say, "Yes, Lord," or you can get chopped up by an angel's sword. Which would you prefer? And so the Lord tells us, encourages us, "Hey, have a yielding, submissive spirit to me." The scripture says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God." That's where it starts. We'll take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interest. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know if you want to reach us, you can call us 972-445-0770. You're always welcome to call and say, howdy. Website, hemustincrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Right in the middle of the website is a little opportunity to give to help us advance the kingdom of God, to sow into the kingdom of God as we look to expand our time and our reach. We need your help to do it. I cannot do it without your help, and I appreciate everything that you can give. And if you can't give, I appreciate your prayers because we just want to move this forward. I don't know how much more in we can go. Let's just say, all in, baby, all in. That's what I'm going to tell you. We don't do everything perfect on the show, so if you're thinking that you're going to give to the ministry and everything we're going to do is perfect, don't give, because that is not accurate. We do a lot of dumb things, but some other things we do okay. I do want to give a shout-out to Michael at First Appraisal Choice, who's considering jumping on board, just saying hi, nothing more. Hopefully we'll get a chance to hear more from him. I also want to give a shout-out to our good friend Samson, who I don't know if he's listening, but if you are, Samson, I need you to call because Wonder Julie has a tip on a position for you, so a job for you. So call if you can get that chance. We've got that set to the side. I just want to make sure that you know it's there. Somebody had sent me an email with an idea for it. We made a shout out on Friday, but I don't think Samson heard it. So, Samson, if you hear that, don't hesitate to call and talk to Julie. She got the info, 972-445-0770. Of course, there's no guarantee anything would happen, but, hey, something good. All right, let's give props for our good friend Kimberly McQuinn. All right, Kimberly is a real estate aficionado. If I really knew what that word meant, it would probably really work for me. Here's the bottom line. She is a person that can help with first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales. She doesn't do real estate as a hobby. This is her passion. She's done it for years and years. She used to be a broker somewhere else. Now she's a realtor with Fathom Realty, and we're very happy to have her on board. And her and Tony are just – oh, they're just great believers. They're going through the same kind of trials you and I go through, and we love that because they're standing in faith, believing God, trusting for deliverance, and trusting for grace, and we just think that's fantastic. I just think people that do that are just the coolest people. They're my heroes in that they show me by example – how to just keep going when things are tough. Right? It's hard to see that from time to time, especially in our world. Something goes bad, and then it's just all everybody just kind of dismisses. Here's the bottom line. Kimberly can be reached through our website at HeMustIncrease.org under Best Ministry Partners Ever. Also, you can reach her by her phone, which is a great phone number for real estate, 903-48-HOMES. 903-48-HOMES, H-O-M-E-S. If you want to get some insight on what's going on in the market, you want to talk to somebody who knows what's going on, not be charged, but just talk to them, make sure there's the right connection, give Kimberly a call and let her know that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. So we've been talking about pride, and I just want you to be aware that there are multiple passages. I think most people know there are hundreds of passages dealing with pride, but one of the most well-known and well-misquoted verses is this, and this is why I can't stand cable news. I'm just telling you now so you know what's going on. They just go, pride goes before a fall. Yeah. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Pride goes before a fall. Yeah, that's not what the Bible says. Okay, it's not how the Bible says it. It's not what's in the Scripture. Scripture is Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That is substantially different. And so instead of trying to mix things and rearrange things, maybe we can just use what it says. That'd be cool, too. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we just spent a little bit of time talking about Balaam, the prophet. Some people will say, well, he wasn't a prophet because he was a false prophet. Okay, but Scripture calls him a prophet, not a good prophet, just calls him a prophet. And bottom line is he got rebuked by his donkey. Oh, I do that on purpose. Leave me alone. And so the donkey rebuked him. Not to be outdone is this guy. This guy's name is Nebuchadnezzar. This guy was a powerful person on the planet. And he had some things take place. He had a dream, and Daniel came and interpreted the dream, and Daniel was quite concerned. And here's what Daniel said in Daniel 4, 24 through 27. This is the interpretation, Your Majesty. This is what the decree of the Most High is issued against my Lord. You will be driven away from people, and you will live like a wild animal. You will eat grass like an ox and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes. Now, before I even go on, I just defy you to defy God in giving whatever kingdom he wants to whoever he wants and tell me God has nothing to do with elections. Only people that have no Bible knowledge or have completely lost their mind would think that. Verse 29, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this great Babylon what I have built? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? And as the words were on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what you decreed. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. What happened to him?
Moo.
I'll tell you what happened to him. God turned him into a cow. Some people say a bull. Other people say an ox. Really? Is that's the part that you're worried about? He could be a cow, a bull, or an ox. Don't care. Nebuchadnezzar was turned into what the Hebrew word is called shor, S-H-O-R-E. It's a beast. He went from the king of the world, the most powerful person, and I mean the most powerful person. We're not talking politics. If you didn't agree with Nebuchadnezzar's politics, he wiped you out. He killed you. And God turned him into a cow. Here's the thing. You think, well, wait, now it's justice. Not justice said. This is what God's message is. You know, it's included in Holy Writ for us. And it's like, wow. And I know there's some people out there, well, thank goodness that pride thing, that's not my problem. Nope, no pride in me, even though God is lucky to have me, even though his church is blessed when I go there and see them. No pride there, right? This is what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You know what Paul's attitude about himself is? Well, I'm writing two-fifths of the New Testament. You better listen to me. His attitude was, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner saved. I'm a sinner saved by the grace that comes from God, received through faith. But I'm a sinner. And he knew it. And he knew, but he was just lucky, lucky in that sense of blessed, fortunate, use whatever word you want, that he was just fortunate to be a child of the Most High God. I mean, we need to at least at some point have an honesty check here. Folks, I'm a mess. I had a chance to talk with Johnny. We had another gentleman in, and we were all talking together. And I'm like, dude, I probably sinned 10 times more than you have since I've been a Christian, even before you became a Christian. I'm terrible. I'm an awful – I come before the Lord every day. I say the same prayer, and I'm not just mouthing it. It's like, I need you to create in me a clean heart. Because in the last 24 hours, this heart has gone dark often. It's like, I need that. I need that refreshness of the Spirit. I need that rebuilding. I need the creating in the new heart and the renewing of a right spirit. Why? Because I'm a mess. But what's cool is I can come before the Lord anytime and find that redemptive element. Because he loves me. Because he delights in me. And I don't have to sit there and I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do a dance for him. I don't have to, you know, quote certain things or say it certain ways. I come before the Lord. The Lord knows exactly what's going on. And I just tell him, I need your help. I can't do this walk without you. Even when I do it right, I'm not sure I'm doing it right. Help me. And that's for you, too. It's not just for me. It's for you. You think, well, you know, I'm not very prideful. Anybody who says that, I worry about that, just that statement. Because I think the more you get closer to the Lord or the closer in you draw, the more you realize, I'm a mess. I need help. I'm not where I need to be. And it doesn't have to be all these. This is the thing that bugs me. Whenever Christians talk about sin, you understand when the world talks about sin, they're always drastic, you know, this huge, huge, huge sins. The world would never consider it a sin if you said, oh, I was going to spend time with the Lord and I just blew him off. They wouldn't. They could care less. But you know. You know. Oh, man, I should have spent time with God. He's the one who loves me. He's the one who's set my life in motion. He gave me grace. He gave me the ability to breathe. Gave me the ability to live. Gave me the ability to smile. See, that's what we're talking about. You don't just song and dance it. Just come before him and say, man, I need help. I'm a mess. The greatest news is you are a mess, but you're God's mess. And he isn't forgotten. You know, he didn't choose you going, well, I hope he doesn't do bad, or I hope she doesn't mess up. He knew. Picked you anyway, didn't he? He picked you anyway, even though you know. You're thinking, what was he thinking? Picked you anyway. Want to know why? Because he's awesome, and he loves us, and we can trust him. All right. We come back. We're going to do this cool thing. It's coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have to go very far. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor. Now, I use that word with some reservation. Having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay? Now, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage, But at least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here is the thing that overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Well, they'll never accuse us of being soft. I can tell you that. You're welcome to call 972-445-0770. I do have a trivia question I'm getting ready to do. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. I think I hit the cough button there for a second. Email David at hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and then YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. First, let's do our partnership with our good friend Johnny Hill.
We're moving on now,
Hi, Johnny is the owner, president. He's the coordinator. I'm not sure if he's the president. I know his wife's kind of like exceedingly helpful and in charge as well. MenOfGodMoving.com. What a tough job. They're a moving company that will move anything as small as an office building to a multi-acred mansion. They will take care of you, and they will not charge you $50 trillion, which is nice. You can get in touch with them by going to menofgodmoving.com. You can go to Facebook and type in Men of God Moving. You will find them, not just a ministry partner, but he, Johnny himself, will be here Thursday. And then I do want to give you an update. Stephanie Vasquez, she's going to be in tomorrow. And she's making a shift in some of the things the company she's working with. So we're going to talk to her about that tomorrow, give her a chance to explain what's going on, tell us what's up, what's happening, what's news, and then she can catch us all up. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing from her and seeing what's going on there. Trivia question. At Christ's crucifixion, what did the soldiers place on Jesus' head? That's the trivia question. At Christ's crucifixion, what did the soldiers place on Jesus' head? Okay? Okay. Tomorrow, we're giving away tickets for an SMU game, just to let you know. But in this case, this is not. This is simply a trivia question. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. At Christ's crucifixion, what did the soldiers put on Jesus' head? There's the question. Okay? All right. Before we get into the rest of the text, I do want to let people know, just because I spent the time studying and researching it, I don't know if Wonder Julie knows. I won't make her look at this because she's really busy trying to get a whole bunch of things together, but it is National Tortilla Chip Day. I like that. National Tortilla Chip Day. Gotta like that. And then, let's see. On this day, got somebody already answering. By the way, on this day in 1839, William Otis invented the steam shovel. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Justin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, here we go. So a straightforward question, not too complex, but it is needs to be designed, needs to be acknowledged, needs to be recognized. At Christ's crucifixion, what did the soldiers place on Jesus' head?
Crown of thorns.
That is correct, sir. You are right.
Thank you.
Yes, good job. I'm just assuming you kind of knew that right away and went right to town on it.
Of course.
All right. Excellent job, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Excellent. Okay. That's it. Answer the question. Bam. Get it done. Good job. Well, let me tell you this, and then we'll get into the rest of the teaching, because I did do this. For those that don't know, today in 1946, Juan Perón was elected president of Argentina. Nobody cares except for one of my major papers in college was called Hoy Ve Argentina. About Juan Perón.
Oh, no.
So I had to do it. There was that. Sort of. And then today was the technical founding of National Public Radio, which is not stands for NPR, not professional radio.
Well.
Okay. Come on.
That's funny. As a radio person, you have to like that.
And then for those that are really into this socialism move, I'll just say this real fast. It's on this day in 1920 that the Nazi Party was founded. The Nazi Party stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. Careful where you get your roots.
There you have it.
Get careful where you get your roots, people. Get mad at me. I'm the one that came up with this, okay? All right. I'll let you guys figure that out on your own. What candidate are you for? The one that reflects Jesus the most. As soon as I find one, I'll let you know. Here we go. Let's go into this next segment, which I think is enormous. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29, one of the most important portions, because it kind of spells out not just now, but the future for all of us. Here's what it says. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Oh, my goodness. Listen to this passage. Look at what God chose. From the world's perspective, okay, he says there are foolish things. God chose foolish things. Now, to the world, it's foolish. Well, what are those kind of things? Preaching, church, kingdom principles, those are all foolishness to the world. That's why God chose them. He chose weak things. What was weak? I got 12 answers for you. One of them betrayed Jesus. The other one was a little rambunctious, most people's favorite. But you look at Peter, James, and John, some moments it's like Larry, Moe, and Curly. And so the bottom line is God chose the weak things. He chose these guys. These were not fantastic, great speakers and great theologians. They were fishermen. They were perfect for the job. God chose lowly things. A lowly thing, just so you can know, is something that's not popular. You know what's not popular with the world? Serving other people. Sacrificing. The world, that world's not impressed with that. But God is. The greatest among you will be among you as a servant. The things that are despised, well, what's despised? The cross is despised. People who witness for Jesus, those people are despised by the world standards. And things that are not, like the tomb of Christ, ain't there. Nothing there. It's empty. Okay? God chose the lowly things, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Well, what are the things that are? The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of men have been brought to its knees and its authority stripped by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. All of that, and so much more. You know I could really spend a lot of time in that. All of that for verse 29. So that no one may boast before him. The bottom line, no one will stand bragging before God, period, ever, period. No person, no human being ever will brag before God, ever. Everything you have, every victory you have, everything that the Lord has allowed you to build, he gets the credit. This is why it drives me nuts. I've told you before, I'll tell you again. Got the argument on one side, well, you know, you didn't build this, the government built this. And it's like, well, the government built this, we built this. Well, neither one of you people really, neither government didn't build it, you didn't build it. Only things got built because God allowed breath into human life. So the first and foremost place of where it's going to get acknowledgement is he who gave life to man in the first place. No person is ever, ever, ever going to boast before God. And so the reason that I bring that up, it's critical for us to at least acknowledge, especially as believers, no matter how much of a part we have in whatever it is that's going on, this is God. He gave us life. He let us live. You know, one of the things that my son and I had discussed, not last weekend, but I think the weekend before is, People don't always catch this, but no matter what you accomplish, you could never have accomplished it ever unless God allowed it. And you think, well, that's wrong. Well, he gave you breath, right? Yes. He gave you breath beyond 1 second, right? Yes. Therefore, every other breath he gives you is his gift for you to live. He doesn't owe you and I. He's not indebted to us. He lets us live. And it's like, oh. Now, we are pretty arrogant, pretty self-thinking, self-visualizing, thinking, well, I deserve this, and I'm entitled to this, and I should have this, and I should have this. So you know what? God owes no person anything ever. And no one will ever boast before him. Can you imagine trying to boast before God? Well, look what I did. Okay, watch. You can go 7 days without food. I think you can go 7 days without food in general before it becomes a problem. I mean, people go longer. I'm not saying that's all you can go. But in general, you can go 7 days. You can typically go 2 or 3 days, I think, without water and do okay. Let's see you go 7 hours without oxygen. Go. Like, whoops. Oh, that doesn't work. Aha! See, that's the joke at the end of... You guys don't know the joke where he says, where's the spoon? And he goes, aha! Okay, never mind. Bottom line, can't do any of that without God. Doesn't matter. And so there's no boast. You're lucky to have anything God's allowed you to have. Did you have a moment of happiness? Well, you weren't entitled to it. God just gave it to you. That was a gift. Well, I've only had 1 hour of happiness and 36 years of misery. Well, you were gifted 1 hour of happiness. Congratulations. Because you didn't earn it. God gave it to you. It's just the difference between understanding where pride really comes in and where humility must come into play. And so the very last segment as we get into that, I'm just telling you right now, I'm going to just give you the two very simple truths in the book of Peter that shows you where God fights for you or against you. Here's a clue. You don't want God fighting against you. Call me crazy, but yeah, I'm going to go with that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I encourage you to check out HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. I love that commercial that we do on giving because he goes, we'll spare you from more commercials like this. So funny. That's funny. Come on. All right, so we are going to be doing some bunch of things. I want people to know we're going to be finishing up the book of Ephesians from an expository point of view. Then the next book we're going to be doing is the book of Acts. And we're going to do Acts from the Bapticost point of view. You're going to hear a Bapticostal, Baptist and Pentecostal point of view on the teaching of Acts. You don't have to love it. You should just hear it so you can know what the, you know, your people that are not maybe in the same fellowship are thinking. They're not your enemy. They just see things different. It's like, okay, that part's good. None of this has to do with salvation in Christ. None of this has to do with redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just keep that straight. Additionally, we're going to be doing more opportunities for you guys to share about your churches. So you'll be able to email. I think we're going to basically start in March. We're going to you can email me. Give me some basic information about your church. Cultic churches aren't getting on. You send me the information, I'm going to look at the church, I'm going to look at their statements of faith. If they're like, well, we don't believe the Bible is true and we don't believe Jesus is Lord, you're not getting on this show. I mean, I'm just telling you. We promote Bible-believing churches that use the Word of God as their authority, period. Whether they're filled with the Spirit in a Pentecostal or a charismatic point of view, that's not the issue. I'm not having the issue with that. I'm not going to sit there and push people away who have a different eschatological point of view than other people. I happen to have a multi or manifold millennialist point of view. There's only about 10 of us that have that point of view. But, you know, I just think that's how it goes. I think George Ladd did a good job in nailing some of that stuff down, although ultimately he was a post-millennialist. Bottom line is we're just going to do more things and have more fun. And 3 weeks from Wednesday is our one-year anniversary.
Yay!
Nobody thought we'd make it 1 month. Well, they were wrong. Praise the Lord.
Okay.
All right. Don't forget, you can go to hemustincrease.org. We encourage you to do that. I want to finish up on this in regards to Pride. And, again, I want to thank Wonder Julie for doing her show and for being back. And it's great to have her. And she just knows her stuff, and it's awesome. So these guys have been so great. The last 3 months have just been great. So I've just really been enjoying it. All right. Okay. All right. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Right. One, I can just tell you, you never want to be exalted to a position before you should be in the position. That's a dangerous thing. But here it is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. The proud are people who are appearing before other people. They have to be the first in line. While the humble are the people that minimize self-honor, and it's totally awesome and totally cool to be last in line. Because it's as unto the Lord. And the scripture is quite clear with the word because. You could try and change that in the Greek, but there's not a lot to change it to. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another because God opposes the proud. If you want God to fight against you, be full of pride. If you're looking to have a war, not just with the world and Satan and your flesh, if you're looking to also have a war with God, just be full of pride. Just walk around, have that pride going all the time. Because what will happen is that God will oppose you until you find a better place of spirit or humility. He opposes, and the word opposes in the Greek, its translation is fights against. He fights against. It's like, wow. But he shows favor to the humble, and the phrase favor means to give grace. So you can either have, and I can either have God fighting against us or giving us grace. Let me see. God fighting against me or giving me grace. God fighting against me or giving me grace. I think I'll go with the giving me grace. Brilliant! Why? Because I can't afford to have God fighting against me. I fight against myself as it is, and I'm already beating myself up. Last thing I want is God going, I got to oppose you. Verse 6, humble yourself. I mean, it's almost the cry is very, it's a very unique way to say it, but it's humble yourself. Don't have the Lord create a trial for you, which he would know about anyway, but don't have a trial created for you so you can find out you need to be humble. Humble yourself. Right? I mean, lay your life down. Don't try to be defiant because there's a few things God will put up with and he teaches us patience 1,000 times over and all that stuff. But if you come out on the side of pride, he's going to knock you down so fast. That's not a 2x4 he hits you with. That's a hammer. That's different. One thing to get hit in the side of the head by a 2x6. It's another thing to have the sledgehammer of God come, bam! Yeah, pride ain't going to work. Nope. So humble yourself. Do it. I mean, why not? Here's why we could genuinely lay down a lot of pride. This one passage. If you just think of this and kind of resonate with it. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you different than anyone else? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? I mean, everything good that we have or that we do, it's like we received, including our next breath. And it's like it comes down to this, I guess it's a common sense argument, at some point, it's like if everything good in your life you've received, you know, and the scripture's like, what makes you different than anyone else? Well, I'm, and it's like, uh-oh. Just in case you don't know this, in the 1 Corinthians portion, just before 1 Corinthians 4:7 is that whole, I'm with Apollos, I'm with Peter, I'm with Paul, I'm with Christ. And everybody's like, yeah, that's me, I'm with Christ, I'm with Christ, I'm with Christ. That's what everybody does. And it's like, that's the wrong answer. Even the next verse says so. It's not supposed to be I. It's supposed to be we. That's the problem. And we are for Christ. And so who makes you different than anyone else? Only God has given you your distinctions. Take a look at those fingertips. Take a look at those designs. Look at those designs on your fingers. You didn't make them. God did. He made you different. And if he made you different, he gets the credit. It's okay. That's fair. And what did you have you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you don't? I earned my next breath. I'm going to go to the gym after this, and I'm going to try and I've been going to the gym. I've been going to the gym trying to lose weight, and I'm going to go to the gym, and it's going to be horrible. And I can tell you right now, my next breath is directly going to come as a gift from God because I'm going to be so winded after 5 minutes. I know it's a gift. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Everything good we have, we received it. Including our relationships, including the coolest things in our lives, the blessings, the children, the grandchildren, all of it. And in the hardest times, if God makes himself known that much more, that too. Which is why we're supposed to rejoice in trials. I know it's hard to read James 1 and 1 Peter 1, but it's there. So if our next breath is a gift from God, then everything's a gift like that. And so nobody gets the credit. Except for him. Exactly. Exactly, though. That's the way it should be. And I'm not, I promise you, I'm not just saying this. I'm not trying to jump down anybody's throat. I'm not trying to, this is me all day long. But it's you, too. It's all of us. So we find our answer in laying our lives down in honor to the glory of God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the gig, man. That's what he's called us to. And you know what? If you need help, just say, I want to be more humble. Please help me to see it instead of hitting me with a hammer for it.
I think that's a good prayer. I'm going with it.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.